They do it, you know, before you could. That's why I wanted you to do it that way, so you could. I don't care how many books I write about it.
I've seen pictures of a stitch similar to this, and I never would have figured out how to do it, I'll tell you.
And that's why I'm glad that needle is hard to pull, you remember.
Yeah.
I had an English girl working with me when I was working on nets. And if she did something wrong, I'd make her do it over, you know. And she was pretty good. She remembered the do's and don'ts, you know.
Uh-oh. No, that should be sticking out. That's right.
No, that's just the idea of what, even though that's not awkward, so you can get to what the idea, you know. See, the idea is to keep that strip inside these, and you could you could tighten these up. I remember they used to take the needle and just tighten it
up. Tug with that.
See, you do that about couple more deals and I'll give that to you, and then you could know. See, you actually have to do it in order to.
You sure do.
Just like that, doing that bear gut, you know. I could tell you all day long how to do it, but you actually have to get down there.
Sometimes you can't believe it's as much work as I know from working with skins a little bit. One time I had a deer skin that somebody who lived in my house had left it there. They said, oh, I don't want this deer skin. They left it in the freezer. And nobody had used it for a long, long time. And finally I said, the heck with it. Nobody's ever going to do anything with it. I'll see if I can tan it myself, you know. And I spent hours and hours. I got all the hair off it. And I spent hours and hours rubbing on that thing. But it was so freezer burned, it wasn't worth heck.
You know, you could take deer hide. And you take just a plain old deer hide, you know, after you got it out from your car.
I did it wrong. Yeah, I noticed that.
But you take a deer hide and dunk it in scalding water and bury it out in the marsh bank for about a week. And take it off and all the hair would come out. And you take it, you find a real lively creek, you know, where it's real, and put it there for about 3-4 days, and it acts like a washing machine.
Takes and all it, the hair out?
No, the hair's already out. It gets rid of that smell. But now you could use some chemicals to do that. See, that's how the mountain men. The mountain men prepare their buckskin coats, you know.
I think what I did was I put that hide in a big barrel with some ashes and water. And that got the hair out pretty good. I still had to scrape it though to get it off.
Well, maybe that's a mistake, but you could.
That's a good mistake to make.
No, it's just an easy one. That way, you could let that one go and go on if you want to.
It's too late. I already fixed it.
Oh, good. see, now you got the idea. See? And you could just about tell how that would be waterproof because you're pulling it tight. And I mentioned how you could see the way the intestine was cut. You could see the bulges like this, you know. That showed on the shortest part of the intestine.
That book I was telling you about, that Eskimo one, they had a stitch that was similar than this. To this, but instead of a sinew in the middle, they used sometimes used a fish skin, like they said a thing, like a wolf fish skin or something like that. Do you know, did they ever do anything like that here?
I seen one in the curio shop and looked like it had straw in there.
Really?
Either it was sewn for an exhibit or something. We looked at it up there in Anchorage, right in the post office mall. And it looked like it had straw inside there. But see, we used bear gut or sea lion gut.
You can laugh while I tie that in the
snow. Take you, it would take you about 3 years to make one of those.
Yeah, but probably those little girls, how young did they start sewing in your village?
Pretty young.
Yeah, I bet.
See, in our custom was the uncle taught the boys, the aunt taught the girls. And heck, I spend most of my time down at my uncle's place. All depend on who was cooking the best meal, you know. Or that he stayed at home, you know, either. But a really close-knit family them days. Don't make a mistake now.
No.
You're
do good. I need to make another loop before I go down, don't I?
Right. You got to go over here before you. See, you got to go through there.
I go up here?
Yeah.
Oh, that's where I make a loop. That's right. Okay.
Yeah, I wanted you to do it in order to. I don't know what kind of a stitch you'd call that, but.
It's almost like a chain stitch or something. Would that look good?
But you can tighten it real tight, you know. I remember going through, they'd take a needle and keep tightening it, and that way they tighten that core, you know, that right around it. I don't think I'd be smoking today if my dad didn't spank me for smoking.
How old were you when you started smoking?
13, I guess.
Yeah.
I was a pretty big boy, but I wasn't too big to spank. And I told him, just for that, I'm not quitting. If he pulled me aside and told me, would you mind quit smoking for me, I would have quit.
Yeah.
But he spanked me and I told him, just for that, I'm not going to quit smoking. And boy, he gave me every dirty job he could think of. But I thought that was a pretty good education for me. But I was stubborn enough not to quit smoking. Then I got addicted to it.
Yeah.
And my sister used to take me out and let me smoke so I wouldn't tell. But I'd tell anyway.
That was her way to bribe you to let you smoke?
Actually, my uncle didn't care after I started hunting. I was about 15. He said, well, I'm doing a man's job. I might as well. I could get cigarettes from him, but I couldn't get none from my dad. And I wasn't allowed to smoke in public. But it's all right if I smoked behind the building, I guess. I didn't. And my mom didn't start smoking until she was about 50.
Yeah.
Then she quit, you know, she just nothing. She learned how to drive when she was 50.
Yeah.
But she thought she owned the road, though, you know. Yeah, move over, I'm coming through, you know.
So you moved to Kodiak 30 years ago?
Yes.
And at that time, things must have changed a lot by then, huh?
Very, yeah. This book is all about it. This book is what's going on about 30 years ago. Maybe longer than that.
So what age do you think you were when last time you were hunting in a kayak or wearing one of the parkas?
About 17.
And how old are you now? How old are you now?
62. We paddled all over the place. And there was no boats and no kickers and no airplanes. And, you know, nearly 50 years ago, you know, there were very few boats. You know. We paddled all over. And we had to break camp every night, you know, a different spot.
Yeah.
And See, nowadays they go hunting, they got trailers and pickups and airplanes, and we used to be able to pack our bedroll in one arm and our gun and groceries in the other and walk down.
Take off and go, huh?
Yeah.
Well, you should show me how to finish this.
Huh?
How do you finish this stitch?
It would be, let's see, now you might take one through there.
We bring one through here?
Uh-huh. See, that's an endless stitch, you know, like mm-hmm. I told you, spiral deal, you know, uh-huh. going down.
Oh, so you do that all the, when you were making the parka, you'd follow the gut in a spiral all the way around down.
Uh-huh.
And then up through, around the hood, too.
No, I got the pins on someplace there, roughly.
Yeah. So you would follow that, do that stitch all the way around.
Uh-huh. And see, these were the... The arms were one uh-huh. piece like that, you know.
Uh-huh.
And then, but this would be square off on top here, you know. Uh-huh. I just drew that to give you an idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember in the back of the hood, it was something like, see, this would be the back of the hood. There's back of the hood was something like this, you know, there was pieces
mm-hmm.
sewed into there, you know, and that, you know, mm-hmm. you could figure out, see, the back of the
uh-huh.
hood was like that.
Uh-huh. It's awful stubborn.
Doggone, I'm sorry. I should have used that green stuff.
I know. It's okay.
See, that green stuff is a softer felt.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't realize it until.
The Soviet Union has now officially requested aid from the United States and Washington, D.C. A State Department spokesman said it will soon be on the way. We have details from NPR's Richard Gonzalez.
In a news conference this evening in Washington, Soviet Embassy spokesman Yevgeny Kretikov said his country has made an official appeal to the United States.
You need a pair of pliers.
Yeah. There it goes.
Now, let's see.
Okay.
Let me see that. Make that, pull that loop smaller. No, the one.
This one?
Yeah, make that.
Let's see, which way are we coming here?
Yeah, that's good enough.
Okay.
Okay. You got there. And that, see, that would be the end. It would be like this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you could just about figure that you just go around one this way, come out.
Mm-hmm.
See, go.
Just around the chain, in a loop, kind of loop around the chain.
Uh-huh.
But I want to go on the other side of that green stuff.
That's just worse.
I go through to do that, or do I just do it on the top?
No, you'd have to go through
okay.
all of them. Well, at least you know the stitches now. It's hard,
mm-hmm.
hard. Now let's see where we at. Where we at? We got. Oh, see now you missed.
Oh, you want me to go through that
one? Oh no, no.
Should I come back up and go through there now?
Uh-huh.
Should I come back over here?
Yeah.
And like that?
Uh huh. Now pull that tight. Pull that tight.
Here, let me grab it, pull that through.
I should have.
Oh, it's okay. It gives me a chance to get a better look at it. Whoops, I busted that needle.
Oh, that's okay, just so you don't hurt yourself. That's okay, I got lots.
Okay.
Maybe we should look for it. Well, you're almost yeah. done anyway.
Maybe that one's a little bit smaller.
I got some smaller needles.
Oh, that cord's pretty thick. I don't think it...
I don't know. What was that?
You could, we're almost done. It's okay.
You could see
work.
Where that would be handy when you're throwing like that.
Yeah, to keep it together.
To keep it in place, you know. Mm-hmm. No, I know you're almost, and I want to see what I think I might have used this. Yeah.
Yeah, it's easier, huh?
Dummy. Only reason I want them different color just to show you where this one was, mm-hmm. you know. That's kind of big thread there.
Did you have sisters too in your family?
No, foster sister.
Foster sister.
We used to paddle around in that when we were about 7 years old.
Yeah. Just the two of you.
At the fish camp, I remember we tipped over. We were fooling around.
What happened?
Well, we tipped out when we had to swim around and go ashore.
But you knew how to swim.
Yeah, we. I was. I don't know, 5, 6 years old when my foster mom taught me how to swim.
Uh-huh.
She held me up like this and let me swim around.
Uh-huh.
But when I realized she wasn't holding me, I sunk, you know.
It wasn't until you thought about it, huh?
Then they put us in shallow water
uh-huh.
and let us touch the bottom and go back and forth and go deeper, and then pretty soon we could swim.
Uh-huh.
But we tipped over and we... It was in the fish camp.
Uh-huh.
So the folks just laughed, you know. We were allowed to play in them. We could walk from end to end of them, you know.
Yeah.
But we'd just have on our jeans, you know.
Uh-huh.
No shoes on, you know.
Uh-huh.
We were trying to tip over.
Oh, I see.
You know, they didn't mind that. But the water was only about this deep, you know. The tree was about that deep.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. They didn't mind us doing that. I owned one when I was younger. My dad won it in a gambling game.
On kayak?
Yeah. When I was about
that was pretty big prestige to have your own kayak, was it?
It was, yeah. It was quite a deal.
Uh-huh.
He won it in a gambling game.
Uh-huh. How long did it take to make a kayak?
Oh, it took him a day to fix the skin.
Mm-hmm.
But probably a week, I guess. But it was all raw material. There was nothing from the store.
Oh, sure.
That's what I wanted to do over there. Is I didn't want no store lumber. I wanted to go out in the woods and get it. I got some trees spotted here for what I could use.
Uh-huh.
I'd probably have to get the Park Service's permission to cut those trees down or go over there at nighttime and cut them down.
But you'd always use a fresh tree. You wouldn't use driftwood.
Pardon?
You'd use a fresh tree rather than driftwood.
Green.
Green.
Yeah, it was green because it was more flexible.
Mm-hmm.
And you picked them out. You could understand, like you talk to that now. You could understand where they picked out the trees where the wind blew hard.
Uh huh.
See, the fiber.
Blown over?
The fiber was flexible then.
Oh, uh-huh.
You see where. Where the wind was blowing.
Where it was bending it all the time.
Uh-huh. Their fiber was flexible. And they picked out the trees from then. Isn't that something now?
That's a tight valve.
Jeepers, you got more patience than I have.
That's why women always used to do the sawing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Now, there's some of your, I just thought those would help you.
Yeah, that's good drawing. There it comes.
Now, let's see.
Okay.
What you got on there now?
I pull that through.
You got one turn. Now, pull this one through. Pull.
You want to pull that loop tight? Oh, okay.
See, it's got a turn on it there.
Uh-huh. Okay, so that makes the side like you started with.
Uh-huh. But now we're out of proportion. That stick should have been closer, but that's...
Oh, okay. It should have been right by the side there.
Now, go through... Let me see that. I got to figure that out. Well, see, there's a turn on that where that was stopping it.
Uh-huh.
So we just go through here, go through there, and pull it tight. Oh, I know what, that thread is too big.
Yeah, I think that's...
Uh-huh. See, that sinew was real flexible, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and when sinew got wet, it expanded.
Uh-huh.
Now pull it tight.
Pull
it tight.
Real tight there?
Yeah, right there. Now you'd end that with a knot on the other side.
Okay, so that stitch should have been right down alongside here, huh?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
You could see where it...
Yeah. So it would have been straight like the other.
That had a turn on it to stop it. Now,
uh-huh. Okay, now just tie a little square knot on the back.
Uh-huh. No, you go around it. Let's see. Let me see.
Oh, you want to go through the other one? Okay. So you're just turning that line around the needle.
Dennis Riley is a New Jersey assemblyman who led the fight to keep Colonel Oliver North from delivering a speech at a New Jersey district.
See, there's a square knot on that with two turns. Now you just pull that tight and slide it up against there as close as you can get it. You see. You see where that knot tightens around that?
Yeah, so you just do, it's just a square knot with two passes around. Okay.
Oh, you know the stitch now. Now you know how to prepare the intestines.
Uh-huh.
And you got a rough deal of the blueprint of that. And I wanted you to do this because I would have a heck of a time explaining to you.
Sure.
See, that's about 100 times bigger than it's supposed to be, but still it's the idea.
Mm-hmm.
I thought of how the heck was I going to teach them over there, so I said, how the heck I'll get felt, and then we could have... We could pull this one out some more if it's not sewed on. So
yeah, I probably caught it there somewhere. I caught it a little bit on the edge there. But
oh, no. See, but just an idea if you show somebody, so that is see, that's...
But when you pulled that real tight, it wouldn't be able to move.
Yeah. Well, we kind of missed some. But you got the idea. Maybe you could get softer material and do that, you know. But I just wanted you to do that so you could, you know, it would be hard for me to write that down.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, I think it's getting a little bit late. It's probably your supper time. Maybe, would it be okay if I came back another time again?
Sure. That would be all right
with me. Maybe in a few days. I was working full time until last week, so now I'm not working so much. I have a little bit more time.
It doesn't matter to me, actually, because my time is flexible. I'm tired of watching TV.
Yeah.
I'm cooked up on cable, but still,
it gets boring after a while.
Burned out on that.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I'm glad I could help you on that.
That's really fun.
You could take all that together and, you know, and what I showed you on that, on the tape.
Yeah.
And then, there was no preservative used on those.
Uh-huh.
After they sewed it all together, they smoked it for a while. Uh-huh. Sometimes, you know.
Uh-huh.
I guess smoke is some preservative, I guess, or tint, I don't know. But they put it through a long pole and kept it in the smokehouse for a short time. Because I remember smelling the smoke on it when I put them on.